Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Elisha was a wealthy farmer, the son of Shaphat, living in the region of Abel-Meholah, a town in the Jordan Valley, in the territory of the tribe of Manasseh. He was known for his diligence, righteousness, and deep devotion to God. His heart was stirred by the teachings and prophecies of Elijah, the great prophet of his time. One day, Elisha was out in one of his father's fields. There were 12 pairs of yoked oxen at work, preparing the soil. Elisha was in charge of the 12th pair. Suddenly, from beyond the trees, Elijah, the revered prophet, emerged. With purposeful steps, the Tishbite approached Elisha and draped his mantle, his distinctive cloak, over the young man's shoulders. Elisha knew, in his heart, that this act carried great significance. He had been chosen for a divine calling. Elijah spoke with authority, inviting Elisha to leave his plow behind and become his servant. Recognizing the weight of this invitation, Elisha requested permission to bid farewell to his family. This he did in short order. With their tearful blessings, Elisha embraced his new path, leaving behind the familiar comforts of home. Elisha's response to Elijah's call mirrored the disciples' response to Jesus' call. Elisha immediately left behind his former life and followed Elijah, just as disciples like Peter, James, and John left their nets and followed Jesus. After the remarkable events on Mount Carmel, where Elijah proved the power of the Lord against the prophets of Baal, Ahab's reign took a significant turn. While the king initially showed signs of repentance, he soon reverted to disobedience and wickedness. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, gathered a large army to attack Israel. Ben-Hadad sent messengers to demand Ahab's surrender, and the surrender of all that he had, including his wives and children. However, the king of Israel refused to comply, and prepared for battle. With the help of a prophet from Judah, Ahab was reassured that God would give him victory over the Arameans. In the subsequent battles, Israel defeated the Arameans twice, despite their numerical advantage. However, Ben-Hadad's advisors convinced him that Israel's God was a God of the mountains and not of the plains, prompting him to regroup and prepare for another attack. God sent the same prophet to Ahab to instruct him on how to defeat the Arameans, in this the third battle. Following the prophet's instructions, Ahab set an ambush and successfully defeated the Arameans, inflicting significant losses on their army. After this victory, instead of executing Ben-Hadad, as instructed by the prophet of God, Ahab showed leniency and not only spared the enemy king's life, but entered into a covenant with him. This act of mercy and compromise went against God's command to completely destroy the Aramean threat. By sparing Ben-Hadad, Ahab failed to fully eliminate the enemy and remove the idolatrous influence of the Arameans from the land. This decision would later have severe consequences for Ahab and his kingdom, as Ben-Hadad's presence and influence would continue to pose a threat and lead to further conflict. After subduing the Arameans, Ahab was relaxing one day at his palace in Jezreel. From his balcony, he noticed the plump grapes growing in his neighbor's vineyard. He summoned the captain of his guard.
"Send for my neighbor, Naboth. I wish to speak with him."
A few minutes later, Naboth stood before the king, outside on the palace grounds.
"Naboth, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden. It is a prime plot of land that is near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it, or, if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money."
"Oh, king, I am so sorry. But the Lord forbids me to surrender the inheritance of my fathers. I hate to disappoint you. But I must answer to a higher authority."
Ahab dismissed Naboth and returned to his house, vexed and sullen. He lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. His wife, Jezebel, found him like this.
What is it now? They tell me that you are moping about like a child and that you won't eat anything.
Ahab divulged what had transpired with his neighbor.
Jezebel, I am disconsolate. Look at that vineyard. It's the perfect addition to the royal estate. I want it. I must have it.
Husband, leave it to me. It will be yours. Summon for me the captain of the guard and three of our finest scribes. Never mind, I will take care of this.
Jezebel sent a letter in the king's name, summoning the elders and nobles of the city.
We have received a letter. It says, proclaim a fast, seat Naboth at the head of the people, and accuse him of cursing God and the king.
What is this treachery? Is the king resorting to deceit?
It seems so, but we must obey his command.
I don't understand. I love the Lord God. And I am a loyal servant of the king. I have done no wrong. But I cannot and I will not give up my ancestral inheritance.
You foolish man. Do you dare to defy the king's desires? You shall pay with your life.
Jezebel cunningly arranged false witnesses who accused Naboth of cursing both God and the king. Two grievous crimes. He was condemned to death and taken outside of the city, where he was stoned. And, after his execution, the king acquired the vineyard. Sometime, soon thereafter, Ahab was walking around the grounds of his new property when Elijah, dispatched by God, confronted him.
Tishbite, my enemy! I see you have found me.
I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. You have no regard for justice, you have caused Israel to sin, and you have provoked his anger. Thus says Elohim, I will bring calamity on you. I will sweep away your descendants. Not only will you and your house be cut off, but dogs shall eat the broken body of Jezebel by the very walls of Jezreel. You have had many chances, Ahab, son of Omri. God has been very patient with you. Now he is done with you, and with your house.
After Elijah left, Ahab reflected on the prophet's words. He tore his clothes, and put a sackcloth on his body, and fasted and lay in the sackcloth, and went about mourning.
Why have you let the Tishbite disquiet your spirit? Do you really believe his preposterous predictions?
Do you not remember Mount Carmel? Do you not remember how the Lord God secured our victory over the king of Aram? This is the God who delivered my people from Egypt, and that delivered the land of Canaan into our hands.
Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah.
Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days, I will bring the disaster upon his house.
Jesus emphasized the importance of justice, mercy, and righteousness, which can be contrasted with Ahab's selfishness, greed, and disregard for God's commandments. God extended mercy to Ahab when he humbled himself in response to Elijah's prophecy, delaying the judgment that was due to him. Jesus taught about the value of contentment and warned against covetousness, which can be seen as a contrast to Ahab's desire to possess Naboth's vineyard. Still, Ahab's repentance was short-lived. 2 or 3 years later, he was killed in battle against the Arameans. Elijah continued to serve Yahweh as a prophet in Israel. And even after the death of Ahab, wickedness continued to beset the land. As a son of Ahab and Jezebel came to the throne, to be continued.